I consider this journey, and I title it Disempowered to Empowered, because there's so many things that I did not know in my younger years. And then there's been these series of life journeys, and then these people that have surrounded themselves around us and with us that have empowered me to make better decisions. There's so many things that we have access to today that we didn't have 11 years ago.
Welcome to the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. In season 2 of this podcast, it's made to help Black professionals start passion projects so they can expand their impact in the world and at work. In each episode, you can expect an interview with a Black professional who has a 9-to-5 just like you. And they've also launched a passion project into this world. You'll also get episodes with specific topics and lessons to help you move that passion project forward. I'm your host and fellow passion project starter, Mike Ambassador Bruni. Let's start the show. Welcome to another edition of the No More Reasonable Doubt podcast. Today, our special guest is Talisa Villa. Welcome, Talisa.
Mike, thank you so, so much. I've been looking so forward to spending some time with you and with the listeners. So I am so happy to be here with you and others this evening.
Excellent. First question I have for you is, what do you do for full-time work?
Well, that I am and have the pleasure of serving as the vice president of sales for Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants, actually the first boutique hotel company that there were. So I am so excited to work for a company such as Kimpton, where we're based out of San Francisco, but I actually have the pleasure of living in Washington, D.C.
Great. And one of the main things that people want to know, what is your purpose or passion project? And how long has it been in existence?
Well, so my passion project came about 10 years ago. And the name of the organization, which is a nonprofit, it's MLC Cancer Foundation. And MLC is after my grandmother's name, Myrtle Lee Carter. So again, it's MLC Cancer Foundation. And what we do is we really focus on three different areas. We provide direct and indirect financial assistance to those who have been diagnosed with cancer and experiencing their cancer journey. We also provide education regarding genetic testing. And we are also there just as a support system. Oftentimes when people receive a diagnosis of cancer, they think of death. And we really turn that around where we take the word cancer and really focus on the words, I should say on the letters, A-N, which is the word can.
Now, every superhero has an origin story. What is your project's origin story? Why did you start this project? What's the passion behind the project?
Oh, wow. Well, that is a very long story, Mike, but I will try to make it as short as possible. It is very unfortunate to say that cancer has been in my family for a long time, even longer than we actually thought a couple years ago. It goes back to what I can remember, my grandfather, who was diagnosed with cancer and lost his journey. And I was approximately 8 years old at that time, but I really wasn't aware when that happened in my life. I just knew that he was no longer there. So when I move it forward and I look back at in the 1990s, my grandmother was, my mom's mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. But what's interesting about this experience, before she was diagnosed, her doctor said to her, "We see a little something, but we don't think it's anything." And a year and a half later, my grandmother lost her her battle with this as it relates to on earth with because of cancer. And that was the beginning of a different phase in my life because I was older. My grandmother was everything to me. She helped to raise me. And that really struck a chord in me and changed my life. But still at that point, I didn't realize what was really happening or how disempowered I was at that moment. And as I move that forward, so that was in the 1990s, my mom was actually had a little bit of a similar situation about 11 years ago. And that was, she actually found a lump herself just from doing her own self breast exam. And she knew something wasn't right. So she made an appointment to go to the doctor, and she ended up having to go to the doctor 3 times before they confirmed that it was cancer. 3 times that she had to initiate a doctor's appointment to get the diagnosis of a cancer. Mm-hmm. So think about this. Think about, tell you the story about my grandmother who was told that there's nothing to worry about. Then you move forward years, and then my mother has a very similar situation, but she took matters in her own hands, fortunately, but still, meaning when I say fortunately, they found it and it was diagnosed. But if it wasn't for her persistence, we're not sure what that story would have looked like. So when she was diagnosed with cancer, there were so many emotions and things that I went through. But I will also share with you, when my mom was diagnosed, we went through this process called genetic testing, which is one of our pillars of our company, or I should say of our nonprofit. And genetic testing is basically this educational arm, this extra knowledge that you can be aware of so that you will know, what are your chances of getting cancer? What is the likelihood of this genetic mutation being carried in your family? And so after my mom was diagnosed with cancer, we as a family did genetic testing. And what happened after that, although my mom was going through her cancer journey at that time, which was about a year and a half, a couple months after my mom was diagnosed, we actually found out that we carry the gene. When I say we, it's myself, my aunt, meaning her sister, and some others. We shortly found out after that, that my aunt was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer. Wow. So as you can only imagine, all of these cancer journeys. So not only was my mom diagnosed, we had no idea that my aunt at that time of my mom's diagnosis was going through her journey. But 6 months later, while my aunt was actually having surgery for preventative purposes, found out she has stage 3 ovarian cancer. Now, my aunt unfortunately lost her battle. She actually was diagnosed with cancer 2 more times after this first diagnosis. But what I do know is that my mom extended my aunt's life. I know that for a fact. Had we not have known, especially the aggressiveness of her cancer and it being ovarian cancer, we know that we would not have been gifted the amount of time that we had with her that we were. So when you ask me, what is it that makes my heart beat, or what is it that makes me so passionate about this cancer and my personally, my family journey? And it is because I feel that I have gone from disempowered to empowered by educating myself and our family educating itself, in addition to the journey that we've been guided through to go on.
So thank you, first and foremost, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
The question you sparked for me is, okay, so you have grandma, you have mom, you have aunt, you did the genetic testing. So what happened next on this journey towards building the foundation?
Well, that is a story within itself, Mike. So my mom, when I was told that my mom was diagnosed with cancer, she actually traveled to Washington, D.C., which is where I reside. And it was actually on mine and my husband's wedding anniversary that they decided to come up to join us. And she shared with me that that she was diagnosed with cancer. And so I said to her, there's no appointment. There's nothing that's a part of this journey that I will not be a part of. And she made a pact to do that. So I head down to Virginia for her first appointment, where they actually gave us the true stage of the cancer diagnosis. So were anxiously awaiting, sitting in the room with the doctor, and she proceeded to begin the conversation of telling us what the stage was. But before they told us the stage, my mom looked at me and said, "Talisa, I ask two things of you. One is to have a grandchild," which that was not possible and wasn't going to happen. "But the second one was, I want to help other people. I want to start a nonprofit to where I help other people through their journey. I don't know what my journey," these are my mom's words at this point, "I don't know what my journey has for me, but if I can just gift one person a smile, a gleam of hope, and just a reminder of what life is, I would be beyond excited." So with tears rolling down my face, yet a smile being able to be showcased at that moment, all that I could say was, "Okay, when do we start?" So it was from that moment that I said to myself that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that's going to come between what my mom just shared with me and her dream and her hope of making this come reality. And so each and every day, and I will say that almost every day that I get blessed with, that memory somehow goes through my mind of keeping me energized about why we're doing this. So it was my mom's wish before she found out that she was actually stage 2B, as it relates to her diagnosis, that she requested that of me. And I immediately said, I got you. Let's start this rodeo and we will get this done. So that's how it happened.
This is a question here that I'm kind of interesting to hear the answer based on what you just shared with me. Usually I ask, is there a point where you hesitated to start? Mm. And, you know, there may be interesting answers to that part. Part B of this question, where I have like, what got you over the hump? I feel like I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it in its totality anyway. Is there a point where you hesitated to start, and what got you over the hump?
Well, I will tell you what, you know, I will just say nothing really hesitated me, to be completely honest with you, because it was my mom's hope and her dream. However, if you were to ask me if there was something that sat in my head that I really, really thought about, it was in cancer, there's so many, you know, there's either continuation of life or either there's death, right? And so the thing that sat in my head of, you know, am I ready to deal with all of the outcomes that are ahead for people that we're working with? Because when you're working with these individuals and you build these relationships and you get to know them, you know, they become your family member. They become a part of your life. And then when something happens to them, and unfortunately death is the end result because of the cancer, that's tough. And so if there's anything that's set in the back of my head to where I'm like, what have ahead of me? That was what sat in my head. But what got me over the hump was the passion that my mom had with her cancer journey. And, you know, she took this thing like a champ. Like, he said, "Nothing that you can tell me, doctor, or can say to me that's going to take my spirit or my joy away. And I'm getting through this." What got me over that hump was my mom's story, you know, how she told her story and her eagerness of just choosing life and saying yes. And that's what got me over the hump. It was my mom.
Thank you for that. That made me smile. So you are a busy professional. How did you find or make the time for the foundation?
Well, I will tell you, that's something that I dealt with for a minute. So the day that my mom shared I was in the midst of, or just starting a new job, actually with Kimpton. And I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. I've been in corporate America for all of my professional career. And I just don't know how I'm going to do this. And I'm a type A personality. So unfortunately, perfectionism is like, you know, something that I needed to change at that moment in order to balance my life a little bit more, especially with adding this to it. And so what I had to do was to become very clear with what my life priorities are. And when there is a, when something like this happens to your family member, it really forces you to reprioritize everything. And at this moment of kind of going through this process and setting this up, I remember my boss saying to me, not that she knew about the nonprofit at that time, but she knew about my mom's journey. She says, you know what, do you want to take FMLA? And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Because I personally felt like, well, I don't want to not to succeed at work and not to succeed with helping my mom. And the other challenge with this is that I live in D.C. and my mom lives in Martinsville, Virginia. So we're 4.5 hours at a minimum from a driving perspective. Mm-hmm. I also shared with my mom that there was, as I mentioned earlier, there was no doctor's appointment, there this journey that I wouldn't be a part of. So whatever sacrifices I needed to make, I was going to make. And that was not to be questioned. And so what I really had to do was become very specific of what my priorities are. And in all honesty, I worked with a coach to be able to help me to really to prioritize and to be able to say no. I had to say no to a lot of things that I wasn't accustomed to saying no. And at that point in my career, I just expanded my roles and responsibilities in the hospitality space. I went from one property with my previous company to over 10 in this new position. So imagine all of the complexity of handling and also showing up the way that I wanted to show up. So with my life coach and with following up with those steps that I needed to do to really stay focused, if it wasn't for that, I don't know how I would have been able to do. In addition to that, I will share with you that I met, you know, they say that people come into your life for different reasons and at the right time. So there was a lady who actually started Tiger Lily, and which is a nonprofit for women who've been diagnosed with cancer, actually young women. And what I learned from her was how she balanced these two things, like her 9-to-5 and then also her passion project. And so when I was introduced to her, we got together for lunch a couple of times and I would just kind of message her. She'd give me ideas and things that I needed to do, because at this point, I had no idea how to start a nonprofit. I'd never done that before. So it was her help. It was also my life coach and my execution of the things that I needed to do, also topped with the skill of saying no at that moment and at the time of my life, that got us across the finish line of getting this set up. But in addition to that, being able to manage and multitask through this journey, right? Because at any given time during a work day, you would work during your normal times, but at the same time, you would get people to call about the nonprofit, and you just had to work very hard and clear with your purpose and intertwining them and balance as best as possible. So it was a test, but it was a test that I passed. And so yay. I'm excited to be on the other side of this. And 10 years later, here we are.
That's awesome. So time is one thing. The other thing is energy. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, or do you, or did you have any rituals that kind of help you to transition between projects? And it sounds like, you know, I'm trying to make it all, I can't find the right word right now, but I'm trying to make it all clear cut, like after 5 o'clock, that's the only time foundation stuff happens. But I'm just curious, if there's anything you've done to help with energy, because you can have the time, but you're like, I'm too tired to do anything.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, with my mom's diagnosis, there are so many things that I learned. So I was sharing with you earlier about this. I consider this journey, and I title it Disempowered to Empowered, because there's so many things that I did not know in my younger years. And then there's been these series of life journeys, and then these people that have surrounded themselves around us and with us that have empowered me to make better decisions. There's so many things that we have access to today that we didn't have 11 years ago. Specifically, for an example, genetic testing. It's different than what it was back then. Today, it is less expensive, and it's also easier to get your hands on in order to get genetic testing. But to your point, one of the things that I really worked on at that point, because my mom's nutritionist and many other doctors said that this journey requires you to change some of those things that you have been doing in life. So at that time, I actually started working out and committed to working out. And before I started working out, I'm like, okay, yeah, they say that this thing helps and it gives you energy. I have to tell you, I didn't believe that at that point. I was like, but let me try it out. And in addition to that, I also worked really hard on changing what I was eating. And at that time, I made small changes, but enough changes where I could tell that there is a difference in my energy. And then I also started to sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. And I know all these things are things that, you know, people will say, well, my mother told me this a long time ago that it's important. And I'm going to share with you at this point of my life, when I made these additional changes in my life and my schedule, I blossomed into this person to where I, one, was able to make time to get things done. Two, if it was 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock at night that we were talking to a person within the MLC Cancer Foundation helping out a cancer patient, I was revved up and ready to go. And those changes, I was able to see how my body turned. And I, when I say turn, meaning the energy level, just, you see the increase. You see, my husband even said to me at one point, he was like, I don't even understand how you are doing this with the smile and you're acting like nothing's wrong. I didn't have bags under my eyes, and the list goes on. So those changes truly made a difference. And my energy level, it changed drastically. It changed drastically. And then in addition to that, when I fell off the bandwagon there for a second, let's just say a year or two after we got the organization up and running, I saw a difference. And so I knew that I had to get back on the trajectory that I was on originally when we first started in order to continue this through. And even till today, Mike, I work very hard to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I'm a vegetarian. I work out 6 days a week. I take my vitamins and I drink 100 ounces of water. And those are the gifts that I have to give myself every day in order for me to balance out everything that I'm doing. So I know it's probably more than what you wanted, but that energy level, let me just tell you, it just, it changed. It went from level 1 to like level 7 or 8 with those small changes about 10 years ago.
Well, actually, I think you have just gifted, you've just gave the audience a gift. The visual that you gave me as you were telling this story is actually around sports, football to be specific, around like the fundamentals and how when things get a little bit crazy, it's back to the fundamentals. It's blocking, tackling, catching, like it's and running. Like it's not that many things.
That's right. You are so
fun. That's the visual you gave me as a former athlete. Actually, I take that back. As someone who was a different athlete back at a different time, still an athlete. But that's the vision that you drew for me. And I think it's something that's like, here's the foundation, people. You already have it. You just need to reconnect with it. Exactly. You gave us the I also got from your story the kind of the experimentation or that kind of model where, okay, I tried this, I have some energy, but then you also have, I stopped.
Yes.
And I saw something change. So so there's also this bit of science and testing that's like, see, like I actually tested. So no, it's just perfect for you know, I think it's gonna be really perfect for the people because it's right with them. And I also have to say that you had me doing some mental math. You like 100 ounces of water. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, how many cups is that? I'm like, where's my calculator? Oh
man. Well, Mike, let me tell you, I started out with doing like 16 ounces of a bottle. And so every morning I actually put together X number of bottles to equal my 100 ounces, et cetera, et cetera. And I just graduated. So now I have a 25 ounce water bottle that I drink out of on a daily basis. So now that makes it a little bit easier because I'm like, now I can just fill four of those. And I know that I've got four, I've got 100. So, you know, you're right. I had to do the math also at the beginning. I made it easy for myself by changing over to the 25 ounces.
So there's someone who's listening to this.
Yes.
And so they got that lesson around make it easier by changing the container, man. Like, absolutely. Just change the container.
Don't think, you know what? Here's the thing. Make it easy. You know, make it simple, because when you don't have to think a lot, things get done because it is just programmed in your head to naturally get done. So don't make it more painful than it needs to be. Go with the easier route, especially with those things that you do repetitively every day. Mm.
Is there a technique that you have to know that you've hit four? Like, you know, that you've drank four and not three or not five. Is there something, or is it just sheer memory?
Well, so let me just share with you. I actually, so on my phone, I have an app that's called Reminders. And it's a free app. I use the free version. And so it actually also comes over. Now, I'm an iPhone person. I'm sure Samsung has it, et cetera, et cetera. However, on my Apple Watch, what happens is I've got it set up as increments of time throughout the day, and it pops up on my watch, and I just click it when I'm complete. So it actually congratulates me when I completed my fourth intake of water for the day. And so that's when I know, because then, again, I don't have to think. It's already programmed. It tells me what I need to do, and then I can celebrate.
That is beautiful. So on this journey of passion project, purpose project, how has this journey impacted your work in a positive way, if at all?
Yeah. Well, so as I mentioned to you, I've been in corporate America since I graduated from University of Virginia for undergrad. And all that I knew, or all that I, well, at that point, all that I knew was corporate America. And that is basically A plus B equals C, right? That's kind of how corporate America works. And so when I started with Kimpton, what I loved so much about Kimpton was that it was not about a lot of SOPs and manuals and specific ways that you have to do taking care of a guest and whatever discipline you were in. At that time, I, as I mentioned to you, I oversaw over 10 hotels from a sales perspective. And what happened at that moment was when I stepped into Kimpton and I saw how they worked, I said, oh my goodness, this is the best thing between corporate America and entrepreneurship, because I could raise my hand when I had an idea. I could execute that idea. And at that time, the CEO would listen to me. And that was so amazing to me. So that was, as I said earlier, around about the time that my mom was diagnosed, I had just stepped into this new family, this Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants family. So when this was presented to me by my mom of her dream and her hope, I was able to take this door had slightly opened in my Kimpton experience of be open, let your creativity just flow. And so when my mom shared this with me, I'm like, you know what? I've been doing this for a couple of months. I'm up for this challenge. And what it allowed me to do, I think Kempton opened that door for me. And once this came about, my creativity just went left, right, upside down, inside. I had to create a website. I had to come up with the name. I had to figure out the logo. I had to, all of these things I had to figure out. And I did it within less than 60 days. Now, for those of you all who have, and for those of you all who have not, trust me when I say that is a lot of work on one person. But I had so much fun doing it. I made it my priority. I made it my commitment to myself and to my mother to get it done by a certain time frame. So that Kempton Hotels and Restaurants opened up a door for me, gave me that initial door opening of what I can do. And I took that and I made my mom's dream come reality.
Did you see it work in the reverse at all? In terms of what you were doing with the foundation and how it looped back to
it did. Full circle. And not only just that, it was almost like, you know, if you look at it, I guess it kind of has a little bit of a, like a rectangular kind of approach, right? And maybe you can look at it from a circular approach as well. But I look at like my home life, I look at my work life, I look at MLC Cancer Foundation. And then I also shortly after that started working with another foundation called Cinderella Foundation, where I'm actually the chairman of the board. And what I saw was this thing that kept flowing and moving. And I felt like I became the CEO of an operation that I didn't even know that existed, to be completely honest with you. And in that CEO role, I had all of these skills. I had this creativity. I had this digital marketing kind of thing that I didn't even know that existed. I had this palette of like choosing all the right things at the right time, and things were just happening. And in addition to that, I got promoted on my job. So to your point and to your question, it just kept flowing. And the best way that I can describe it, it's like it started off like the four angles of a triangle, of a square, a rectangle, I should say. And then I think it morphed into something similar to like a circle that it just continued to flow. And it never has stopped, I have to say.
And that's quite a visual, at least for me, you know, because I saw that rectangle morphing as you said that. Thank you for painting a picture for us. So there is someone who's on the fence of starting their own purpose or passion project, and they would love to hear what advice you would give yourself, you know, 10 years ago. You know, what advice would you give yourself when you're at the beginning of this journey, knowing what you know now?
Well, you know, I will first and foremost say that everyone has a message to tell. And it is so important. You know, we are human beings. I think that this COVID environment has taught us what we as human beings, we value. We value connection. We value relationships. And I know for myself, learn the best and the most when it comes to sitting down and chatting and understanding and hearing someone else's journey. And if you've got a message to tell, tell your message, because that can save lives. You know, I think about my mom, and I think about what if she would not have. Right, out of the things that I've shared with you all today, what if she would not have? And I think about my life and I think about my journey. I am 49 years old. And at the age of 49 in my family, between 49 and maybe a little bit past my age, so many of my family members lost their journey, lost their life with cancer. So if it wasn't for my mom telling her message, and some people say that there's mess in the message. And I'm going to say, you know what? There's mess in every message. However, there is an end of the rainbow that comes out. And had my mom not have told me what that message was and given me that opportunity, I personally don't know if I would be here today. I really do not. I've changed so many things about my life that had I not have changed, and had I still been in that disempowered state, I have no idea where I would be. And so even though there may be mess in the message, know that there is something to be received. And even if you don't know who has actually received it, trust me when I say that there are people out there listening, and little girls and little boys and young men and young women that are just sitting at the edge of their seats, listening and making changes. And although the change may not come to you today or tomorrow, trust me when I say changes are being made. So going from disempowered to empowered, which is my story, is the best gift that you can give to anyone. So tell your story, tell your message, and let it be heard loud and clear.
I feel like the congregation would need to say amen at this, point. You just gave us a word. You just gave us a word right there.
You just gave us a word right there. Start jumping and shouting.
Let me tell you something. One of the things that I do with the podcast is, first of all, you have me jotting down some notes. That's one. And two is that I'm like, because one of the things I do is I pull out a teaser to put at the beginning of the podcast. I'm like, ooh, I think I just found it. So that's awesome. That doesn't always happen during the interview. I usually have to find it after.
Right.
You know, while I'm going through it. So, and we are about to wrap up. The only two last questions I have for you. One is, are there any resources or books that you would recommend for people based on the journey that you've been on?
There are a lot of books and things that I've read or listened to, et cetera. But I will tell you, there's this lady, her name is Mel Robbins. And there are like three people in my life that I'm like, oh my goodness, if I ever get a chance to meet them, you just have no idea. One of them is Mel Robbins. The other one is Michelle Obama. And the other one is Oprah Winfrey. And Mel Robbins is someone that, and you can get more information about her on melrobbins.com. She has her website. She also had a talk show, and she's also a public speaker. She's written a lot of books, one that's called The 5-Second Rule. And no, it's not the 5-Second Rule that your grandmother probably told you about if you drop some food on the floor. It's not that one. It's totally different. And if you haven't read it, it is a must read. There's also another book that's called Take Control of Your Life. And then also on her website, melrobbins.com, she has a host of online workbooks that are free. But what Mel Robbins has had, why I'm so intrigued and I'm so passionate about her is that she is authentic with her story. At the age of 40, she was literally about to lose everything. She was about to get divorced. She was losing her house. She was about to file bankruptcy. And the story goes on and on and on. And by the age of 50, this woman is a millionaire. Now, what she shared with us through the tools that I just mentioned to you are the processes and things that she put into place to make her life different. So if you haven't read The 5-Second Rule, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go get it. It's guaranteed to make you think differently about how you are approaching life. She and her books helped me over the last 10 years to get through a lot of things that I was dealing with, to kind of manage through and to be where I am today with MLC Cancer Foundation. So check it out. Those are must reads and must do, specifically the complimentary online workbooks. They're free. Go do it.
That's awesome. The last question I have is, where can people learn more about your foundation and the dope work that you're putting into this world?
So you can find us at mlccancerfoundation.org. I'm also excited to say that Invitae, which is a company that actually does genetic testing, and you can find them at invitae.com. they actually have my story and my mom's story on their website. So if you do Invitae.com/patient stories, or you just go to the patient stories part of the website, you can check us out there and also check out a couple of pictures of my mom and I. And last but not least, we're found on Facebook and Instagram, MLC Cancer Foundation. So check us out, learn more about us, and we'd love to hear from you in one way, form, or fashion.
Awesome. Talisa, I am so glad that you said yes to being a guest on my podcast. I'm so glad that you shared your message today. So thank you for being with us.
You are so welcome, Mike. I said, look, it's better than saying yes to the dress. Yes to the dress. This is yes to Mike and the opportunity to be able to speak to so many of you all. So hopefully I said one or two things that you've written down and that you will take and move it forward in your life. So thank you so much, Mike. Thank you so much for changing lives, specifically lives of the within the Black community. It's so, so, so appreciated.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and found tremendous value in it. If so, don't keep it a secret. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram, our handle, No More Reasonable Doubt. Every so often, I create a free resource to help you take your purpose or passion from a dream to an actual project. You can always find that resource at nomorereasonabledoubt.com/free-gift. This is Mike Ambassador Bruni for No More Reasonable Doubt. Remember, some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. It's on you.